titled this sermon, Parting Words, right? But, well, actually, if you had looked in your bulletin last week, that's what this message was supposed to be, Parting Words. But that was kind of depressing. It was going to be my farewell and that kind of thing. But it wouldn't be relevant anymore because I won't be leaving. Yay! I'll be staying with you guys a little longer. And like I said, I'm really happy to be here and to just serve you guys. So I'm really happy about it. So anyway, if you'd like to know more reasons why I'll be staying and things like that, you can come talk to me afterwards, okay? So anyway, back to the sermon. I had this whole thing planned out, but I wanted to keep the text, right? So I thought I'd have some fun, right, and change it up and give today's message a bit of Halloween flavor. Okay. Halloween's what, this Thursday, right? So the title for today's sermon is The Living Dead. But the text remains the same. Okay, so let's read it together. Deuteronomy 30, starting with verse 15, okay? See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. The word of the Lord. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning to just come before your word and to worship you and to study and to know you deeper. Lord, I just pray that you may speak to us through this passage today and teach us what it means to live a life that is pleasing to you and that is truly living. Lord, we thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the passage we just read, Moses asks the people of God, us, to make this choice, right? Choose life and blessing, or choose death and curse. Well, that seems like a no-brainer, right? No, who would choose death and curse, right? Well, I was thinking about it, about this question a little bit. What does someone who's cursed look like? Or how could someone really choose death? Right, that seems kind of a weird question. And then it struck me. What about vampires and zombies? Yay! Vampires are cursed beings, aren't they? Right, cursed to never see the sun. Cursed to feed on human blood. And zombies, likewise, they're not alive or they're not dead. They're somewhere in between, right? They're undead. Now, in the last few years, zombies and vampires have gotten so popular in media and culture, right? Think about, like, Underworld movies or Twilight and stuff like that, The Evil Dead, right? Now, just a few weeks ago, I actually went and watched, like, the whole first two seasons of The Walking Dead on Netflix. Really good. Really good show. You should go. So today, again, I thought I'd have a little fun, and in the spirit of Halloween, this sermon, and in the spirit of Halloween with this sermon, we take a look at what Moses' parting words, right? So the passage we just read are Moses' parting words. Let's see what it has to say about blessings and curses, life and death. Okay. So what is a curse? What is life? That seems to be what Moses is talking about here in this passage. And what's amazing is God seems to offer us a choice. Be cursed or be blessed, live or die. 2 weeks ago, I shared about Moses' calling at the burning bush. Do you remember this? Oftentimes, we think of Moses as this great leader, this perfect guy, right? But in fact, he was very human. He also doubted the Lord. He also feared man. Now, last week, Pastor Ian preached about the Lord's leading, how during Israel's 40 years of wilderness, remember the cloud, God's Shekinah glory, it would lead his people. And when the cloud settled, the people stopped. And when the cloud moved, the people went. And so we're going to, during this 40 years of wandering, right, Moses and the people went through a lot of ups and downs. Now, even though God provided for the Israelites, they grumbled and complained. Even though God told them what he wanted and expected from them, they disobeyed and rebelled. Now, a really important story during these 40 years that we skipped over is the giving of the law. Moses met with God on Mount Sinai for 40 days, and God gave Moses his perfect law. Do you remember this? Etched by the finger of God himself. Now, we often think of the law just as the Ten Commandments, right? Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not worship idols. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Keep the Sabbath, honor your father and mother. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not lie, you shall not covet. At the Ten Commandments, that's the law, right? But there's actually a lot more to it than that, which is in the Book of the Covenant. Right? Now, there are all these weird dietary, ritual, and ceremonial laws, things that we no longer follow or rarely talk about. Now, parts of the Bible that would probably make a really boring sermon series. Now, what these laws were designed to do was to keep Israel separate, unique, special among the nations. And the thing about the law is, it's a total package. You don't get to pick and choose which laws you get to follow. So Moses gave Israel this law. And if God's people obeyed the law, the Book of the Covenant listed out all sorts of blessings that they would receive. Fruitful crops, abundant livestock, land, family, blessings, which were so lavish that they could only come from God. And the other nations would look at Israel and say, wow, look how blessed they are. Look at how they live righteously, justly, lovingly. Their God is truly great. Israel was to be a light to the nations, revealing the glory of God. And God promised them great blessings if they would stay faithful to the covenant. But the flip side of this is that there were curses built into the covenant as well. If Israel was disobedient, if they went after other gods, if they neglected justice and mercy, God would strike them down and punish them with curses. Some of them include drought, famine, war, exile, terrible things, nasty business. And we know from Israel's history, that's the path they ended up going down, right? Although they enjoyed great blessings under David's reign, they eventually went after other gods through the influence of Solomon and his many wives, through the splitting of the kingdoms and their eventual fall, the exile and then the Babylonian captivity. The history of Israel follows these covenant curses to a T. Blessings and curses were built into the covenant, clear as day. And Moses was reminding them, offering them a choice. All right, now look at verse 16. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. God made it very clear how to be blessed. Love the Lord, walk in his ways, keep his commands. But if Israel didn't, if they went after other gods and served them, they would perish. The land would spit them out, right? They would be cursed. Now, it seems kind of harsh for God to curse someone, doesn't it? Now, aren't we taught not to curse? Right? If we can't curse others, why can God? But what God does is give humans a real choice. He respects us and treats us with dignity. Right? We aren't his robots or his puppets. God doesn't force us to love him and obey him. He lets us freely choose. And choices aren't real unless they have real consequences. Now, those consequences can be good or they can be bad, blessings or curse. The consequences are a result of that choice. When God set Adam and Eve in the garden and put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil there, I believe God gave them a real choice. Obey God's word and live forever in loving relationship with him, or set out and live however you want. Right? Be your own God. Right? Come up with your own standard of good and evil, right and wrong. God really gave them a choice. And when they chose to rebel God, God really cursed them. And through them, we got cursed too. All of humanity, we've got cursed with the wages of sin, death. The curse is God punishing disobedience. And the covenant curses that Moses lays out in the law do the same thing. Choose to follow God's covenant and enjoy protection, blessings, and long life, or disobey and be cursed with war, exile, and spiritual separation from God. Now, we know how Israel chose, but the word is not just for Israel, not just for them. It's for us as well. The problem is, we all disobey God, don't we? The law clearly shows us how we all fall short, how sinful we all are. And you know what? Therefore, we all deserve to be cursed. Every single one of us. It's in our nature. We are cursed. But all is not lost. There is good news. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law and gave us blessing, right? The blessing that Jesus earned for us. Jesus lived a sinless life and took our curse, the punishment that we deserved. He hung on the tree for us and took our curse for us. That's the gospel. And really, when you really see that, when you get it, then you know we are not cursed anymore. Okay, now imagine if you got bit by a vampire and you were cursed. Cursed to never see sunlight again, to fear garlic and crucifixes, to thirst for human blood. You'd never be able to have family or friends, right? You'd never grow old. Now imagine having this kind of lonely, dark, murderous existence forever. That is a curse. It's not something cool, despite what Twilight tells you, right? That is a curse. That is not how we were designed to live. Now then imagine there was a cure for this curse, that you could be totally restored. You could be made human again. Right? You could enjoy a sunrise, a sunny day at the beach. You could go back to your loved ones, have normal human interaction. You could eat garlic bread again. Right? Wouldn't you want to be set free from this curse? Well, that's what the cross is. Freedom from the curse. No longer do you have to live in the darkness, hiding in the shadows. In Christ, we have been set free from the curse of original sin. We can enjoy the blessings of eternal life with God. We no longer live under the law. We live under grace. If you accept the cross, you choose freedom, not slavery. Blessing, not curse. In the next half of this sermon, we will look at life and death and ask, what does it mean to be alive? Is someone in a coma alive? What about someone in a vegetative state with no brain activity and no hope for recovery? Is that person alive? Now, we often think of life in a biological way, don't we? An organism that is self-sustaining, that can reproduce, right? There's all these definitions of life. And scientists are always looking for life in the cosmos or on other planets. Right? But is that the biblical definition of life? Is life simply biological happenstance? Or is it something more? Is it a gift from God? Moses says in our passage today, verse 19, I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life. What kind of life can we choose? I'm already alive, right? What kind of life does God want us to have? What I propose to you is this. God wants us to have spiritual life, right? Not every person who is biologically alive is spiritually alive, right? And we humans, we are spiritual creatures. We have this innate predisposition to worship. We're created with a spiritual sense and spiritual needs. In Jesus' temptation story, Matthew 4:4, Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Humans are spiritual as well as physical creatures. Have you ever seen a human corpse? It's weird because you see their body, but you just know, you can sense that person is no longer there. Right? It's just a body, but their spirit is no longer present. Body and spirit together is what makes us human. And that's why zombies are such a paradox, right? Zombies are physically animated, but lacking the soul, the spirit, the breath of life that makes them, that what makes us human. A zombie is not human. It's not alive by human standards, nor is it dead. A zombie is in a class of its own, undead, right? Now, if being truly human, okay, that's what we're getting at. Being truly human means being spiritually alive, then we've got a big problem, don't we? Because last time I checked, not everyone takes faith and spirituality seriously. They don't understand or believe in spiritual things, or even God, right? They believe in themselves. They live in rebellion against their creator. They worship the creation, and in doing so, they commit adultery. Idolatry. Verse 19 says, therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days. If loving the Lord your God and obeying his voice and holding fast to him means life, then there sure are a lot of people who are not spiritually alive. They are spiritually undead, spiritual zombies. Ah! And I'm going to categorize these kind of people into two groups, okay? The living dead and the dead living. Now, let me explain these two. The living dead are spiritual zombies, alive in the flesh, but dead in spirit. These are people who do not know Jesus Christ. They live their life oblivious to the fact that they're missing out on what it means to truly be alive. In John 10:10, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. To have the abundant life is to be in Christ. To love the Son, to be restored to the Father. A lot of people out there haven't accepted Christ as their Savior. And when they die, they will have a rude awakening. They will be eternally separated from God. They will be in the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. They will say, "But I lived a good life. Give me one more chance." But I think they know in their heart of hearts, they just chose to ignore God. Real choices, real consequences, real curse, real death. So that's the first category, the living dead, right? But there's also another category of spiritually undead, the dead living. These are Christians who have accepted Christ, but their life doesn't reflect it. Maybe they grew up in church. Maybe they made a commitment in their teens, but no longer take all this God stuff seriously. They no longer read their Bible. They no longer go to church. Eternal life is just something that happens after I die, right? It doesn't affect me today. These Christians claim to be alive in Christ, but their dead faith says otherwise. James 2:26 says, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." And what this basically says is, if you're a Christian, if you confess with your tongue that Jesus is Lord, but your life doesn't reflect that, you got to question, you got to ask yourself, do you really have saving faith? Perhaps you really don't understand who Jesus is or what lordship really means. Either way, there's this disconnect between your words and your deeds. And guess what? Your actions speak louder than words. Brothers and sisters, do you have a living faith? Do you have the abundant life that Jesus promised? Or are you spiritually undead, like the living dead or the dead living? All right? Do you fall into one of those two categories? Life is more than just eat, drink, and be merry, going about your daily business, building up your career and your name. Those are things that the world tries to tell you is living, is really living. Right? Those are things that we spend so much time and money and energy doing, but that's not true living. That's just delaying death. Real, authentic, human life looks like Jesus's. And we often stress that Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of God, right? The second person of the Godhead. But we so easily forget that Jesus was also human in the truest sense of the word. In fact, Jesus is the definition of what it means to be truly, perfectly human. To live into our full humanity is to live like Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and what? The life, right? John 14:6. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. Brothers and sisters, are you truly alive? Does your life reflect Christ? When people see you, do they see Jesus? Or something else? What do they see? Are you among the spiritually undead? Now, the end of our passage today records some of Moses' very last words of his life. He's 120 years old. He's been through tremendous ups and downs with his people. And his parting words in verse 19 says, "Today I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life." And that is how I want to end this message as well, with the same challenge and the presentation of the gospel. God has chosen you. But have you chosen him? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior to free you from the curse of sin? Because if you do, you will be blessed. You are blessed more than you can imagine. Right? Not with worldly riches and an easy life, a lovely family, a big, beautiful home. Right? Those things may come. But if you accept Jesus, you gain so much more. He will give you his very spirit, and you will have life and have it abundantly, real human life. Not just mortal life in the flesh, but spiritual life for eternity. Choosing Jesus as your Savior could literally be the choice of a lifetime. And if you have chosen Christ as your Savior, are you living that life out? Or are you spiritually undead? One of the spirituals, the dead living, right? Professing Christ, but living a dead faith. The Christian life isn't just a one-time deal. It's a choice. Every moment of every day for the rest of your life, you have to choose. Consider Jesus' words. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. The Christian life is walking in the Spirit daily, surrendering to God completely, trusting him with your life. It is struggling against sin and temptation. It is loving God even when you don't feel like it. It is obeying him even if it costs you much to do so. Because that's what it means for Jesus to be your Lord. That's lordship. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Brothers and sisters, the choice is yours. How will you choose? Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we confess that we do not always live into the life that you desire for us, the life that you've given us all the time. Lord, it is a choice every day. Help us to choose life. Help us to choose Christ. Help us to live a real human life like Jesus is. That is what we desire. That is truly living. Lord, help us not to be spiritual vampires or spiritual zombies. Lord, help us to be really alive. Thank you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.